T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath moves over a seat. Chuck Freeman back on Monday. We'll get things figured out here in a moment. The Brewers.
Maybe.
You know, this is your big break, according to Freems. You've co-hosted many a show.
Yeah. So
you used to be on, you know, you kind of had a similar start as I did. Small market radio up to the big time.
Right.
It's not like your first time on the radio.
No, he's like, you're going to be nervous? And I'm like, no, I've co-hosted this show like 9 times now, so I think I'll be fine.
We've done the draft show with me.
It's the transition is, I came in here and I forgot that I have to do the sports update, so I'm trying to pull these things and scores off my phone because I was going to give some love to my man over here, Nick Bodie, producing the show, but he was running late this morning as well.
Ooh,
so
I just want, out. Wow.
No. So no, I just want everybody to know that my ego isn't quite as big as Chuck Freeman's. Like, I don't want to be the second person to ever co-host a show or host a show and do his
Chuck
own updates.
Freeman.
So I just wanted people to know that I'm not burying the young talent around here.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have a rebuttal, Nick Bodie, who is apparently late?
Yeah, I mean, not running late. I'm still just waiting when I get paid as my gig for my gig as the main producer on the Ryan Horvath show. Was that we got paid episode 1, week 2? I don't know what's happening.
Well, yeah. It was a 15-minute show, so I didn't really have the coin to throw around there. And I didn't mean to say he was going to be late. He texted me last night, and
I was home with my mom. Horvath was very nice to pick up, take Chuck duty, and do the sports updates. So thank you, player.
Now I just feel bad. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're all good. There will be, you know, a handful of days this summer where this is the show because, you know, we've got vacation around here and Chuck burns it in the summer, which is totally fine. He'll be doing some golfing, I think, this weekend. We are going to have Steven Newsman updates on Chuck Freeman throughout the day, so stay tuned for that. But the thing that we want to start with is another free agent gets signed this week, and another free agent does not get signed by the Brewers, and depending where you are or how you feel about this team is going to dictate how big of a deal you think this is. And I don't think this one's as big of a deal as the Craig Kimbrell signing where he goes to the Cubs. But I do think that this is another instance of a guy that the Brewers could have, you know, attached themselves onto in Dallas Keuchel, who signs a 1-year, $21 million deal with the Braves. That's kind of just for show. What they're going to do is prorate that to about $13 million, I believe it comes out to, Horvath, $13 million.
Yeah.
So he'll go to the Braves. So those two guys that we talked a lot about this offseason are now signed, and both of them signing after that draft compensation is all taken care of. A lot of these teams with the draft compensation, they would have had to give up a first, a second, some high pick. The Brewers, their pick would have been like 115. It would have been a second or third rounder because they already burned their first compensatory pick. And I will say the word burn with the kind of production you got out of Alex Claudio. So it went to cost the Brewers a ton. I mean, it just depends how you view the MLB draft. But they didn't sign any of these guys, Kimbrell or Keuchel. And now that the draft compensation part's over, you know, it's kind of like free bidding for everybody. So Kimbrell ends up with the Cubs. And as I told you yesterday, I think that is a big deal. And then the Keuchel thing, you know, it just, again, depends on how you feel about the state of this Brewers team. And I guess I am realizing that I think I'm in the minority. I think last year I wanted a big pitcher. I want a big-name pitcher. I want an ace. You know, I want an ace on this team. And anytime he can help the bullpen, I want to see that too. But then when the Brewers go to Game 7 of the NLCS, and they do that based, you know, on their pitching for some degree, people can come back at me and say, oh, Bart C., you're wrong. The Brewers didn't have to do anything, and they got to Game 7 of the NLCS. And I'm thinking, well, maybe if there's another move in there, you can get to Game 7 of the World Series. And I understand that, you know, enjoy the ride is fun, and it's fun to see a team get to the NLCS when they haven't been there in 6-7 years and really haven't been there much twice since they moved over to the league. So I get that that's fun, but I guess I want championships, and I don't know if it's as black and white as I'm going to paint it right here, Horvath, but maybe I'm in the minority when I say I want championships for the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you should have. I'm with you on the Craig Kimbrell move. I think that that's a bigger move than the Dallas Keuchel move, just because, I mean, if you look at Keuchel, like the 3.66 career ERA, and he's been great, but he was 20-8 with a 2.48 ERA, and that was in 2015. So I think that we've seen his best stuff. He hasn't pitched. We really don't know what he has. I mean, you could say the same thing about Craig Kimbrell, but the biggest takeaway there is you just wanted to keep him, I feel, out of your division, right? Because that was the one issue with the Cubs this season. They're scoring runs. That was kind of their downfall last season, the final 2 months of the season, is that their offense was just inconsistent, but they have the run production. And all summer long, all offseason long, we heard that they didn't have the assets, they didn't have the funds, they didn't have the money. Then all of a sudden they swoop in as you're, you know, a game, a half a game out of first place. So I feel like that's them, and that's Theo Epstein saying, I'm going all in. And I felt the same about David Stearns and the Brewers front office and organization in this offseason. You know, bringing in Yasmani and really kind of, you know, beefing up that lineup. But I was always afraid of the starting rotation. Yesterday is a perfect example of how inconsistent the starting rotation is with Freddy Peralta. I mean, strikes out 9, goes 6 innings, and you're like, man, if Freddy could just do this 2 out of every 3 times on the bump, you know, he would be one of your top starters right there. Woodruff's been good. Zach Davies, you know, good. But can you trust that, you know, throughout the season? Because once we get to July and August, I don't know, I feel like adding another arm. The more I think about it, do you think the Brewers made a call on Keuchel?
I think they've been calling on both of the guys.
Right.
But the money or the long-term deal was maybe too much. Now what you see here is that the negotiating period and the leverage for those two guys has gone down over time.
Right.
So Kimbrel still got himself essentially 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when the season started, he might have wanted double that, if not more. I mean, from what I was hearing, these guys wanted a long-term contract, both of them. And then Keuchel's to the point where you're either going to play this year or you're not. So get a 1-year deal, you know, pitch well, and then try to do it again. The same thing that these other guys that the Brewers have are doing, Grandal and Moustakas. And as I look at this Brewers team, I get a lot of feedback about how can you say they're not going all in? How can you say they're not trying, Bart?
Yeah.
And they are at the offense table.
Mm-hmm.
When they're playing cards at the offense table, they're pushing everything in. I mean, they're getting Grandal back. They're getting Moustakas back. They're finding ways to kind of curve the market and get these guys on 1-year deals. Pay, you know, $20 million. Wow, that's a lot of money. Oh, my goodness. $11 million, that's a lot of money. But there's no long-term ramifications. In baseball, if it's just the 1-year deal, it doesn't work out. It's not going to kill you like a longer-term deal would. And I think that's why some of you guys are talking yourselves out of the Craig Kimbrell thing. But when it comes to the pitching table, I mean, it's like the Brewers have what they have, and they just want to figure out a way to make it work. So the word I was using yesterday a lot was hope.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have these guys now, we were listening to the postgame show yesterday. Billy Schmid's going to join us around 7:35. We'll check in with Tim Allen towards the end of the show, too. But they were talking about all the different pitchers now that you can choose from. So where the Brewers are at right now, because if Freddie's going to be like this, okay, listen to how many times I say if. If Freddie's going to be like this yesterday, maybe the most inconsistent pitcher in the league.
Yeah.
Because he looked great yesterday. But then there's been times this season a lot where he hasn't looked great. And he got through that first inning, the 9 strikeouts, the 8 in a row. Looked very good. Looked very good against the Marlins. Brewers win that game 5-1 and salvage the series. But then you have, okay, Jimmy Nelson, if Jimmy Nelson can figure it out, if Zach Davies can keep this up, if Chase Anderson can be good Chase Anderson, if Joely Chacin comes back healthy, if Gio Gonzalez comes back healthy, if Brandon Woodruff can stay consistent. You've got right there, you've got a lot of names to choose from. You've got a lot of choices, but are they as good as another choice that you might have that's not within your organization? Are they as good as a trade piece? Are they as good as a Madison Baumgartner?
Right.
If you want to go get him. Are they as good as a Dallas Keuchel, who was sitting there on the free agent market for a long time, and as we mentioned now, with the Braves? So if the Brewers get five of those seven guys to pitch above average, they're going to be a very good baseball team. But my point a lot of the day yesterday and really this week was, I think that the Brewers bank on the if. I think that they plan on the if. Instead of it being a bonus, it's kind of like a part of their plan. And when their plan didn't work, they had to go out and desperately get a Gio Gonzalez and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I get that you might be comfortable with where the Brewers are at, but it's a lot of if, and I would like to see more, I guess I would like to see more certainty instead of just a lot of hoping.
No, I completely agree. And that's what I was thinking when you don't make a move for Craig Kimbrell or you don't make a move for Dallas Keuchel. You know, the reason that I would like to bring in two guys like that is just because I think experience means everything in the postseason. Like, people are always, you know, Justin Verlander, is he too old? And the Astros make the move, they win the World Series. You know, even when the Cubs signed John Lester, people kind of criticized that, the long term and the money, because he won World Series. And the knock on all the pitchers in Boston were they got fat, they didn't really care towards the end. But I just feel like experience matters. Sometimes guys like that just need a change of scenery. Even if you look at like what Cole Hamels is doing with the Cubs. So that's where I would have liked to see a Keuchel or a Kimbrell come over to a team like the Brewers that's just trying to get over that hump to get to the World Series. The crazy thing about the Brewers' rotation is usually, like if you look at what they're doing in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, you see a lot of young arms. And you don't really see the way that the Brewers won, especially last year, you don't really see teams that are a game away from the World Series or in the NLCS win like that. Like with Freddie Peralta making some starts and Brandon Woodruff, like all the young arms. Usually you see that like with a team like Pittsburgh because you never really know what to expect. Like I think the ceiling's so high for Freddie, but then he has a great start and then he can't get out of the first inning. Walks the bases loaded and gives up five. And then you're like, oh man, maybe you got to use him out of the bullpen because it's all mental. He can't get through the first inning. But I'm saying usually when you see these young pitchers make all of these starts, it's through a team that's going through a rebuild. They're kind of up and coming. So that's why it's crazy to watch the Brewers win like this, and I agree. And I feel like maybe you don't go out, you don't make the move for Keuchel or Kimbrell because you're going to wait until the deadline and see who's around. You know, you have some prospects. Maybe if Madison Bumgarner's name gets thrown around. But right now, to be honest with you, and especially, you know, maybe Kimbrell doesn't work out, but at least Theo Epstein's saying we're going all in. And I think the Brewers did this offseason. But I think you have to add another arm, even if that's your strength in the bullpen. I think you have to add another arm in the bullpen.
Well, right now,
and
it's
I think you
not
need
the strength.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I would have rather had Kimbrell over Keuchel, and I would think most people agree.
Right.
Because there's a lot more upside. If we are just going to play the if game, there's a lot more upside with the starters than there is with the bullpen, where you want to talk about patchwork. I mean, you're hoping on Alex. I'm waiting for Donnie Hart to come back up. Okay.
Right.
But this is how bad the bullpen is.
But this is like, if you go around and you look at the National League and in the American League, really, this is kind of everybody's problem. Like, the problems that the Brewers are facing are kind of the problems that all the contenders are facing, even in Boston. You know, everybody's worried about their bullpen. Everybody's bullpen sucks. That's what we hear every season now. Great team, but don't trust the bullpen. So I feel like the bullpen will still... I think when push comes to shove, I think I still do trust these guys. Like, I don't know if I'm hoping Jeremy Jeffers gets it figured out. You know, I don't really like using Josh Hader in the closer role, although when he saves 14 out of 15 attempts, I don't really mind it all too much. But what I'm saying is I trust the bullpen, I guess I should say, just because you could pick and choose where you use Hader. I do trust Jeffers to figure it out more than I trust the starting rotation. Like, I still think to win a World Series... And you could call me crazy. I just don't think you could do bullpen days or initial outgetters or whatever you want to call them. I think you do need that one guy that could go out there, like that horse, that could make two or three starts in a series, go 7 or 8 innings. And you could argue against that and say, well, look what they did last year. They were a game away from the World Series. Went to Game 7 of the NLCS. But look at the teams who...
But they also didn't get to the World Series. It's like losing Game 7 of the NLCS is not the World Series.
And look at every single team had to make a move for a Justin Verlander. You know, for, you know, not even John
Lester.
The Cubs
a couple of years ago.
Jose Quintana.
Chapman.
And a lot of times you have to part ways with some pieces that could really help you out in the future. Like the Cubs, they're dreading. I mean, they have to hate the fact that they went all in on Jose Quintana. And Quintana's been good at times, but you gave up some great prospects that are with the in the White Sox organization right now, guys that could be all-stars here. So sometimes you have to part ways. It's not about sustaining success when you're this close. It's about going all in and bringing in one World Series. Because here's, what do you want to do? I mean, and do you want to be the Dodgers? Well, that's a bad example because you do want to get to the World Series, but
do you want
to lose in the World Series every year? But let's say this. Do you want to get to the NLCS and be this close every year for 10 years and sustain a success and be the Braves in the 90s and you're always there? Or do you want to be the Cubs, you know, a couple years back, win that one World Series just to get to experience that one time and then, you know, be a contender every year? But like, who cares if you win another one? You just want to win one World Series in the next decade and you'll be happy.
I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath. I need to talk through with you about the people that are okay with not getting Kimbrel or Keuchel because of the trade deadline. I think that is a little misguided, and we'll explain that coming up in a moment. Also, look back at yesterday's Brewers game as they salvage a series against the Marlins. We'll hear from Craig Counsell and those guys in the locker room. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know, on a day when we had two short starts and Freddie coming off, you know, being in the bullpen for the past month, and he gets us 18 outs. That was, you know, that was the big performance and the critical one. You know, once we got 18 outs from Freddie, the game was put back in order with those guys available.
Craig Counsell afterwards. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath here for Frames, who will be back Monday. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletics Studios. You remember Tuesday's game? The Brewers lose 16-0 to the Miami Marlins. 8-3 then on Wednesday, another loss, but they rebound and salvage the series. Always, Horvath, bet against home splits. That is free money, as it was yesterday. Brewers win 5-1. Couple of home runs from Mike Moustakas, looking very good at the plate. Another one for Christian Yelich. So 23 on the season for Yelly and 18 on the year for Moustakas. But it was Freddy Peralta, I think, the story. Was helped with the lead early on as well, but he got through that first inning, and you knew this could be a special day for him. He goes 6 innings, gives up 4 hits, 1 earned run, and strikes out 9. At one point, it was 8 strikeouts in a row. So Freddy Peralta, very, very good. And yeah, you look at that and say, who needs Dallas Keuchel, who signs with the Braves last night? Who needs these additions? We've got these guys in our organization that can deliver, but until they deliver consistently, it never hurts to add more guys. Before this, it was a bunch of relief appearances for him when he would give up a couple of runs. His starts have been, you know, very hit or miss. This is a guy who in April went 8 innings, allowed just 2 hits, struck out 11, and then the very next performance couldn't get through the fourth and gave up 7 runs. So sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not. They wanted him to work on the pace yesterday, so it was quicker velocity, quicker time in between pitches, and that paid off for him. But now will he do it in his next start if he gets that next start, which you would think he would. But again, the Brewers, they've got a lot to look at. And next week is a weird week because they have 2 games in Houston. They're off Monday and on Thursday again. So they can either shorten up that rotation or try to give these guys an extra day of rest. But for yesterday, at least, so far so good for maybe the most inconsistent pitcher on this team, Freddy Peralta.
I feel like the same thing goes for most young pitchers, though. Like the inconsistency, like where they're really good and they'll strike out, you know, double-digit batters, and then the next game they can't get out of the third inning.
So knowing that, you start the season with three of them in the rotation.
Well, that was my point. I just, you know, when you're a game away from the NLCS, like I said, and you're a contender, I still, and I could be, I mean, everybody wants to argue against this. And I'm new school, you know, launch angle, you know, all this and all that. And,
yeah.
But I'm old school where I do think that you need a true ace just because historically, that's how you win a World Series. Like, you need a John Lester, like, you need Johnny Cueto. You got to go out and you got to get that guy. You need Justin Verlander. And so if there is a Madison Bumgarner out there, I think that you have to at least look at all your options at bringing him in. Like, I would have went through every option at bringing in Craig Kimbrell just to keep him out of Chicago. I just feel like that's going all in. And it's safe to say you don't want to waste the money. You know, you don't know what this guy has left. You don't want to give up the prospects. But the only problem is, you don't know that you're going to be there next year because baseball is just the weirdest sport. You know, like, you never know. Like, Freddy Peralta is a great example how inconsistent he is. Last season, he makes his first start on Mother's Day and fans 13. You know, then he can't get out of the first inning. You just really never know what you're going to get, and every season is different. Like, look at the Chicago Cubs. We thought all these guys were going to be future Hall of Famers. Like, everybody, I remember when Theo Epstein said Kyle Schwarber was untouchable. Now Kyle Schwarber's batting, I think, like 220. With 11 homers, and they could have got so many prospects for him. So you just never really know what you're getting year to year. So when you are this close and you are a contender and you're right there, I mean, it's safe to say, well, yeah, Christian Yelich, he's only getting better. When you made that move, you didn't know you were getting an MVP. You know he had all the potential. You thought you were maybe getting a 25 to 30 homer guy. Now you got a guy that leads the entire Major League Baseball in homers. But Lorenzo Cain's not getting any younger. And, you know, you don't know that you're going to be able to keep Moustakas. Like, how long are you going to be able to keep all of these guys? So I feel like you're right there, and this is when you do have to go in. That's where I agree with you. And I don't think, even with this new wave of baseball and guys making starts out of the bullpen and pitching to two batters and bringing in another guy for an inning and then bringing another guy for an inning, I just, until somebody actually wins a World Series like that, I just don't see it happening.
I like that, too. I like the creativity. I like what the Rays are doing. I like that you have an opener and then you have another guy go five innings. You know, I like for the most part what the Brewers were able to do last year. But look at what happens when you have. It's not so much that we. It's not so much that the Brewers need a Cy Young to win the World Series, but they need. If you're going to depend on your bullpen, you need a guy that. I mean, listen. This is Craig Counsell. You just heard this cut. You probably weren't paying attention. Here it is again.
You know, on a day when we had two short starts and Freddie coming off, you know, being in the bullpen for the past month, and he gets us 18 outs. That was...
Okay, just there. You got six good innings out of Freddie Peralta. Mm-hmm. What that does is it stabilizes the bullpen because you're not going to be able to use Josh Hader every single day, and you're not going to be... And even last year, you couldn't use Jefferson Knebel every single day. When the Brewers get eight innings out of Zach Davies, I mean... That's not just good for that day. That's good for like the next 3 days because it lets these guys rest up. It lets you maybe not have to go. I mean, they could have not gone to Jefferson Hader yesterday. They could have tried that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the outcome would have been, but they could have tried that and saved those guys another day. So if you can limit the innings that these guys get so that they're as fresh and rested and at the top of their game come September and come playoff time, that's only going to be a good thing. So I'm all about when I've been clamoring for an ace for the last couple of years, some of it is, yeah, I want a very good pitcher on this team. I want Jake Arrieta to go out there and just, he is an ace. He's an intimidating ace. And sometimes he gets hit and sometimes he doesn't. But more often than not, he's going to stabilize whatever's going on with the rest of the rotation. So I, the days of, as much as the Brewers love the bullpen stuff, the days of getting guys to go seven innings and eight innings is still very important and maybe even more important just because of how teams are so reliant on their bullpens.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like I said, until a team wins a World Series without a true ace, you don't even have to be a true ace, like, just need a guy that could go out there, get you 7 to 8 innings, but you need, I mean, Jake Arrieta is a perfect example because I think the Cubs losing Jake Arrieta has been huge the past couple of years. And I mean, obviously that's easy to say because Yu Darvish hasn't really been able to make all the starts. I mean, he only made what, 7 or 8 starts last year. And then he was on the IL for the remainder of the season, so you were getting literally nothing. But I just feel like those guys, like a Jake Arrieta or a John Lester or a Justin Verlander or a Madison Bumgarner, guys that have pitched in that situation, I think that's huge come postseason time too, because every single pitch, every single at-bat does matter in the postseason, unlike the regular season. The crowd atmosphere is totally different. Like, watch a postseason game on TBS and then watch, you know, a Tuesday night at Miller Park. Like, the atmosphere, obviously, much different when you're in the postseason. So I just like having a guy like that that's kind of seen it all, has the experience, just because I don't trust Freddie Peralta. I don't trust Corbin Burns. I don't, as good as Zach Davies has been, I don't trust Davies. I don't trust Brandon Woodruff, to tell you the truth, come postseason time. I trust guys like Madison Bumgarner. And I just, that's just a name that I keep throwing out there. I mean, you were really high on Sonny Gray.
The name that's available, we will be talking a lot of Bumgarner this summer.
And everybody trashed Sonny Gray's name. But look what Sonny Gray's even doing this season. I mean, on a crappy team, granted. But even a guy like that.
But he's kind of scuffled lately. He's I had to cut him from some fantasy teams.
But I still trust him to go out there and get me 6-7 innings.
He had a good April.
He had a really good April. A really surprisingly good April. But I don't know. It's just, there's too many inconsistencies still with the starting rotation and in the bullpen, which was your biggest strength heading into the season. I just feel like when Knebel went down for the year, that's when you should have made the call for Craig Kimbrell. Just because you knew. I know Theo Epstein and the Ricketts family and the Cubs were saying that they didn't have the money, but you knew they were going to find a way. Like, you didn't know, obviously, Ben Zobrist was going to go through a divorce and go on hiatus, but you knew they were going to find a way. And you can't tell me that you didn't know that they had money. They have their own network coming out next season.
Yeah, they'll have a lot of money.
It's $45 for a beer at Wrigley Field. Like, look at the merchandise sales. Look at all the marketable players they have on that team. They have the money. And so you knew that if that was going to be, and that was the biggest question for them coming into the season, where with the Brewers, you thought, okay, you got Jeffress, Knebel, and Hader. The biggest question was how you were going to use those guys. Where the Cubs' biggest question was who's going to close games. Because Brandon Morrow, they were hoping that he could come back. They paid him all that money, never came back. You were relying on Pedro Strop, then he gets injured. So when Knebel went down, I just thought, and I know that the reports were out there that the Brewers were in contention and making calls on Kimbrel, but it would have been really nice to bring him over and keep him out of Chicago, no matter what the money is, because who cares about money? It ain't ours.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins again. Good shout-out to Freddie Peralta yesterday, who had 8 straight outs via strikeouts. That's the second longest streak by a Brewer this season. Corbin Burns against St. Louis in March had 9 in a row before he started to struggle. Dylan tweets in at the Fan and says, Corbin Burns needs to be sent down to the minors and figure it out.
Yeah.
Brewers will need him if we want to make any kind of run in the postseason. You can tweet us throughout the morning at 105.7 FM. The Fan, there's a way to tweet us and get some Summerfest tickets today. I was at the Brewer game yesterday, covering the game, as we do, part of the job. If you could have, maybe cover or have all access privilege, so you can be in the locker rooms, you can be at the game, you can go anywhere to any sporting event, what would it be? If you could have all access coverage and privilege to one sporting event, and it could be like a NBA Finals, which is a week and a half, it could be the Kentucky Derby, it could be the Super Bowl, whatever, what would that be? Tweet us at 105.7FM, the Fan, use the hashtag CWTickets, and you can win yourself a pair of general admission tickets to Summerfest. We'll have another winner today, and we'll give out tickets again next week. But if you could cover one event, you have an all-access pass to one sporting event, you can do anything, anywhere, anytime at that sporting event, what would it be? Tweet us at 105.7FM, the Fan. More on the Brewers throughout the morning. We'll talk if they are the favorites to win the NL Central just after 7 o'clock. Do need to talk about the NBA Finals tonight. Horvat and I, big on the Warriors, although with some of the news coming out yesterday, I am getting very, very shaky about that pick.
Don't say this.
And about the bet we have with Freeman. So we'll regroup on that coming up next, as the Warriors may be without a guy, not just tonight, but maybe this entire series, it looks like. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, the Fan.
This is Steven Newsom with another Chuck Freeman Day Off Update. Chuck is always talking on the air about how he wishes he could sleep in more often. And I tell you all what. That man is taking full advantage of it today. I am directly outside Chuck's bedroom, and he is snoring away. He's talking in his sleep occasionally, but the only coherent words that I could understand were ribs on a stick.
Hold on. Sounds like Chuck is about to talk in his sleep again. He's rolling over. Chuck?
Oh, God, I don't want to go to prison for anything.
Oh, God, does that sound ominous? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll keep you posted once Frings is awake and on his feet for the day. We've got more to come. This is Steven Newsman, Shadowfall!
Live updates from Steven Newsman.
Love it.
If you're not aware, when Chuck is off, we have a reporter that is assigned to follow him and cover him. This is the first time we're actually getting live updates from Steven Newsman, so stay tuned. He's going to give us a new report every hour. Don't go anywhere. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Freems is off. He'll be back Monday. Ryan Horvath moves over a chair. Nick Bodie in here as well. 414-799-1250. We'll talk some NBA Finals momentarily. Have been talking about another free agent signing in Major League Baseball. You've heard the names Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell a lot, especially in the offseason and then a little bit throughout the regular season. Because they, I mean, two guys that are good pitchers, they were just sitting there on the free agent market. The draft compensation part is no longer relevant, so teams may be more willing to sign these guys, and they did. The Cubs going with Craig Kimbrell and the Braves going with Dallas Keuchel. So both guys in the National League, neither guys to the Milwaukee Brewers. Mike is in Sussex. 414-799-1250, the number to dial us up at any time. Mike, how you feeling? What's up?
Hey, am I allowed to say pissed off on the radio?
Like, if you weren't, you just did. So you are, but you just did it anyway. So, okay. Yes.
Well,
yes.
If I wasn't supposed to, I'm sorry. But, hey, Keuchel and Kimbrell, they've been sitting out there since you know, the end of last season. And here's the drum I've been beating. And I'm a ticked off front runner. And, you know, as David Stearns, you know, everybody's given him all the credit for all the, and he's done a lot. Okay. I grant him that. He's gotten some players. But here's the thing. What wins World Series is pitching. And, you know, what we did last year is not going to happen again this year with our bullpen. It's evident already this year. We wore them out. We need starting pitching. I don't understand this. I'm a casual fan and a front runner, but I'm going to tell you something. If David Stearns can't recognize that they need a starting pitcher, they don't even necessarily need an ace. And I don't know if these guys, you know, Kimbrell, he's a reliever, right?
Yeah, a very good one. Maybe the best ever.
Okay. Probably the second best closer.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The Brewers need to realize that pitching is the name of the game. It you know, yeah, we needed hitting at the end of last year, which we weren't getting. But this is just the epitome of Milwaukee sports. Let's just, you know, just get by, just get close enough to appease the fans, to keep butts in the seats, to keep the rich owners happy. And then when it comes right down to it, we really don't want to win a World Series. We don't want to win an NBA Finals. And I'm so tired of it. Can you hear it in my voice?
Mike, where I needed you yesterday, man. I felt like I was on an island yesterday saying very similar stuff. So I heard you.
I couldn't get through.
Oh, I'm so glad to talk to you.
On my way to work.
I think you might be my new best friend.
Well, let's go out and have a beer, man, and wallow in our self-pity.
That's something we will do. Mike, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
799-1250. One of the things that I don't like when I put out the tweet the other day, Mike, again, wow.
Did you pay Mike to make that phone call this morning?
No, but see, sometimes it is better to hear my thoughts in someone else's voice, because even I, like, respect it more. I don't know what that, like, sometimes with Chuck, I'll say something, I don't know, and then someone will call in.
Yeah.
And Chuck, oh, yeah, hey, buddy, I've been saying that for whatever. That's a different issue. The thing that I need to bring up about the Brewers and the Cubs and all this stuff is that when I put out the tweet, between the Cubs and the Brewers, it looks like one team is trying to win and one team is hoping to win. A lot of the feedback I got was, well, look at the payrolls, okay? The Cubs have a payroll of $210 million, and this might be before, well, the Zobrist thing will offset the Kimbrell thing. So let's just say 210.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers have a payroll at $126 million. Now, what the Brewers have told you is accurate. This is the highest their payroll's ever been. I mean, this is the highest. That's the highest their payroll's ever been. They're still below the league average. They're 17th in the league at $126 million. Baseball does not have a salary cap, which tends to favor the larger market teams because you have more influx of money. I mean, it's no surprise that the top five payrolls go to Boston, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and Giants. But when the Brewers say the phrase, this is the highest our cap has ever been, I think what we hear is, hey, we're out of money. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is this is the most amount of money we've ever spent.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted Craig Kimbrel or Dallas Keuchel, look, Mark Attanasio's a rich guy.
Yeah.
This team doesn't lose money year after year. They just put $60 million into a spring training facility.
Mm-hmm.
This team is profitable, and if they wanted to spend the money, I believe they could spend the money. So you can say, oh, Bart, you don't know that. I don't know that as much as you don't know that they don't have any money. So let's call a spade here, and we're even. But I just think when the Brewers come out and say, this is the most we've ever spent on the payroll, while that is very true, it doesn't mean they're capped, and I think that's how we interpret it.
Yeah, everybody has the money. I always laugh when I hear we don't have the money. And I'm really getting sick of hearing the...
I mean, me and my wife have a budget.
Right.
Okay, but there's some new blinds and they were on sale and we need new window treatments, so she bought them.
Right, and
okay, we went over our budget, but we got something we wanted.
Exactly, and
we'll
feel
figure
like,
it out.
And
we've got credit cards.
And that's, I always laugh when I hear we don't have the money because there is no salary cap. All these guys are loaded. They all have the money. That's why I was laughing when the Cubs said they had no money a couple years back when the Cardinals said that they had no money. I feel like when we talk about going all in, the Cubs went all in the offseason. The Brewers did go all in the offseason. And the Cardinals went all in the offseason. I mean, you bring over Goldschmidt, you bring over Andrew Miller, and you hope that he is what he once was. So everybody did go all in. But I feel like when you win World Series, more than any other sport, you win at the deadline or you win during the season because baseball's a weird sport. It's long. It's 162 games. Injuries happen, like little nagging injuries, like whatever's been going on with Lorenzo Cain for half the year, but especially with the pitching staff. You know, everybody's going to go through an injury. Everybody's going to have a shoulder injury or an elbow issue or just even a cut on their finger like Chase Anderson had that could keep you out for 2 to 3 starts maybe if it goes deep enough. So I feel like where you win is in the middle of the season. And I'm so sick of hearing about small market, because the Royals, like, is Kansas City a small market, a medium market? Because when they were right there with the team of Lorenzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, Ben Zobris, they went all in and got an ace. And you could say an ace or not an ace at the time. He was Johnny Cueto. This is where you figure out what you need. You knew what you needed. You had to give up very little for Craig Kimbrel, in my opinion. A pick that really won't matter. And they didn't do it. And so I...
And now if you're going to wait until, like, oh, we didn't sign Kimbrel, we'll get someone at the trade deadline. Like, I think that the Brewers would be better off paying for a guy instead of... Now, if you want a guy at the deadline, you got to give up a bunch of prospects.
Well, I was laughing at everybody.
And the bidding's going to be high because there's one trade deadline, so there's going to be more bidders.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a seller's market.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to, I think, long term, I mean, depending how you value assets, it's going to cost you more to get a guy at the deadline than it would. I think prospects should be valued more than money, especially on a short-term deal.
And what drives me nuts is when people make the age argument, like, well, they're both 31 years old, Kimbrel and Keuchel. Well, here's the thing. Like, teams aren't just going to be shopping Jake DeGrom. I mean, he's even 29 years old, but teams aren't going to be shopping their young prospect pitchers or their young stud pitchers. You know,
you
Steven
never know
Strasburg
who's going to help you. We had 55-year-old Eric Kratz last year get us to NLCS.
That's what I'm saying. And they're only 31 years old. Like, I'm 31 years old. I feel damn good. I could go out and probably fire a 99-mile-per-hour four-seamer right now. Kidding. But what I'm saying is, like, the age doesn't matter. And those are the guys that I do want to bring over because they actually have the experience. I want guys that have won World Series in my clubhouse. That's why I love Mike Moustakas. That's why I love Lorenzo Cain. Because you could say that stuff doesn't matter, but if you listen, or if you go back and you look at the Chicago Cubs, like Jason Hayward, like Freems has been ripping the Jason Hayward signing, and it's a brutal signing, but he is having a pretty good year. but they go in that rain delay. Everybody's freaking out because they're a bunch of 23, 24-year-old kids, and you do need somebody in the clubhouse that could say, everybody calm down. We're the best team in baseball. We're going to go out there. We're going to score two runs. We're going to win this game. I know that sounds cliche, but I feel like in professional sports, in the playoffs, we saw it with the Bucks, even in the NBA. Like, Kawhi Leonard led the Raptors. Kyle Lowry led the Raptors because they have playoff experience. They've had success. They've had failure. And I think that it matters when you get to the playoffs. And with the Brewers, you know, I just, in that pitching rotation, I just don't really trust anybody. So we could see what happens. Maybe David Stearns knows that there's, and that's the other thing, like, we don't really know what's going on. Like, everybody, I feel like, is in cahoots. So you know what names are going to be popping up come deadline time. Maybe there's a name that we don't even know about. You know, last year, everybody was like, well, if the Mets are out of it, they could be shopping DeGrom. I knew that wasn't going to happen. So I don't think you'll get a name like that. But if it is a Bumgarner or, you know, anything that's an upgrade over Gio Gonzalez, who I love, but when he's your biggest addition in the middle of the season or in the first 3 months of the season, I don't know. I just do worry a little bit with the moves that the Cubs made because of the way that they've looked offensively. And now that they fixed the bullpen and the rotation looks that damn good, like Kyle Hendricks could be a Cy Young. So it's just kind of a scary situation.
We'll talk to Billy Baby Tal Schmidt 7:35 today about this. We've got a couple more guests. We'll talk some Packers with Andy Herman at 8 o'clock, Cheesehead TV. Dan Favalli will talk some NBA Finals with us at 9. Some time to talk to you guys throughout the morning as well. Ken's in West Bend, 414-799-1250. What's up, Kenny?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, kid.
Outstanding segment so far, and I'll tell you this, I couldn't agree with you more. I am so tired of hearing, we're in a small market, we don't have the money. That's garbage, and I've never heard the Brewers actually say that. Selig used to say that, but this new owner, Antanasio, does not say that. He's quite reserved, to be honest, and I agree with the fact that Stearns is working behind the scenes. And if Keuchel, what do I mean by that? He's looking for better deals out there possibly, or not necessarily the biggest names that are out there. And with that being said, look at what he did with Kane and Yelich and every player he's ever gotten. The media had no clue. And it's outstanding when he does this because it catches everybody by surprise. They're like, oh, I didn't realize those guys were available. Well, you know what? Teams make deals with other teams all the time, and I truly believe that's what's happening. This whole scenario about the money thing, you know, where you hit it right on the head, Bart, when you go, hey, just built a $60 million facility. It's a matter of what the owner's threshold is when it comes to spending and his comfort level, how much he wants to keep. And so with that being said, how much do you want to spend to bring a winner to the town that you're representing? And that's what it's going to come down to, because you're going to have to spend money to win. That's the reality. We can see with this pitching staff that they're struggling. So you know what? Get some new guys, bring some new guys in. There's nothing that says that you can't go and make some deals in these farm clubs with other teams, or potentially with, you know, like you were talking about DeGrom and who else it might be out there. These deals are made all the times behind the scenes. And if you have to give up a few prospects, so what? It's the reality of the game. Who says you can't get prospects from another team down the road?
Yeah, but I would rather have signed one of these guys and do it financially than end up giving up prospects.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now I'm not hell bent on all these prospects either, because look at how long it takes in many cases to develop them. Right, where you can go into somebody's farm club system and raid it. You can raid a farm club. You could go in there and make deals for other players. So, and I think that happens on a regular basis, contrary to what people understand in terms of how these deals are made. But financially, if you can do it, sure. So you can keep your guys and keep developing them. But the bottom line is that you've got 30-plus teams out there that have some tremendous prospects that you can go and get as well. So I think if the Brewers are going to go all in, we're going to see it here pretty quick, knowing that there's only one trade deadline. And don't be a bit surprised if it's a multiplayer move, meaning they go and get three or four guys, and most of them being pitchers or middle relief. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's always fun to talk about, isn't it?
Hey, Ken, thanks for making us a part of your day.
Hey, you have a great day, Bart.
Okay. You too, 799-1250. We'll continue to talk about this. Something we're going to talk about later on in the show is because we said we were going to talk about the NBA Finals, and then nobody seemingly wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So later on in the show, we're going to talk about how nobody wants to talk about the NBA Finals.
Oh, nice.
So we'll do that later. Nobody's watching the Finals. Nobody wants to.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. But we do care about the Brewers, and we'll continue to talk about them. As you look at the move the Cubs made, all right, there's still plenty of time to make moves, and we still don't know what Stearns might have, quote-unquote, up his sleeve. But as of right now, who's your favorite to win the Central? Is it still the Brewers, or do you got to give it to the Cubs? 799-1250, Chuck and Winkler, Horvat here for Friends.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.